As the sun went down, Cloud paused long enough to gather dry wood and build a fire. He had no food, and his only means of protection was a stone knife in his belt. It did not matter, for his heart was broken. If the great silver-tipped bear came in the night, or some enemy was even now stalking him, he was already dead inside. Dawn Woman was to be the wife of Hollowhorn and bear his children. Life had no meaning. He kept the fire going far into the night as he sat and blew on the hollow branch. He found that placing his fingertips over the five holes would lower or raise the pitch. Moreover, when he coaxed the voice from the branch, it strangely eased the pain in his heart. So, of course, he blew and made the branch sing until once again he dropped over from exhaustion. Morning found him curled next to the cold gray ashes of his fire pit, his arms around the hollow branch. He awoke lost, unkempt, and hungry, his heart still torn. Stumbling to the creek, he washed his face and took a long drink, and in the water he saw a lonely young man. He stayed in a grove all day, blowing on the hollow branch. By sundown, he could make the branch sing better than the wind had. Through it came the voice of his grief-stricken heart, rising and falling with high and low plaintive notes. Cloud decided that the voice of the branch sounded much like the great cranes that flew overhead each spring and fall. With his knife, he carved the end of the branch into the shape of a crane's head and bill. As he made the branch sing, the land and everything on it fell silent, listening to the voice of a broken heart. Another night came, another lonely fire. Another dawn found him next to cold ashes with his pain. Hunger he could push aside, but the only medicine for the pain in his heart was the singing hollow branch. Because he and the wind had given the branch a voice, he decided to call it Hokarapi, or to make a voice. It was, of course, a flute. Another day passed. Cloud blew on his flute and let it cry for him, giving voice to the bottomless pain in his heart. Now and then he paused to work on the flute, reshaping the mouthpiece or making all the finger holes the same size. He had not eaten for 3 days, weak and delirious. He thought he saw Dawn Woman standing by the side of his fire. When he reached out for her, she ran away, or so he thought. So he followed. After a time, he simply wandered across the prairie, playing the flute, not caring where he was going. Cloud awoke from a delirious sleep to find himself next to a river, washing his face and taking a drink. He staggered to the shade of a tree and began blowing on his flute to chase away the pain in his heart. The notes flowed from his flute, rising, falling, and sobbing, crying out the anguish from deep inside. Suddenly, Cloud heard voices and opened his eyes to realize that he was on the riverbank opposite his own village. In his delirium, he had found his way home. All the women in the village, young and old, were standing on the other bank staring at him and listening to him play his flute. Among them was Dawn Woman. The pain of losing her engulfed him like a flash flood. All he could do was blow on the flute and let it cry his anguish. The lilting voice of the flute rose and fell, sighing and sobbing in soft, heartbreaking notes. Cloud noticed that the women were as drawn to the voice of the hollow branch as he had been when he first heard it. There was not a single man in the crowd, only women, old women, young women, and girls, all entranced by the crying flute, including Dawn Woman. Certain that by now she was the wife of Hollowhorn, Cloud's grief poured out through his flute. Soon Dawn Woman crossed the river and stood before him, her eyes down but casting frequent bold glances as the flute sang. "There was a time when a young man I knew made my heart fly," she said softly. Cloud stopped playing. Now he sings a strange song that makes my heart sad. What are you doing to me? I am giving my pain a voice, he replied, because the young woman in my heart has become the wife of another. The spirits have given me this hokarapi to do so. I can no longer make her heart fly. Can your hokarapi sing out in joy? Dawn Woman asked. I can give it no joy, for I do not feel it, and it is I who give this thing its voice. But I feel joy at your return, she said. After you left, I knew that life's path without you would be lonely. For you see, you are in my heart, and always will be. I have taken no husband, unless it would be you. Cloud could not believe his ears, but he saw the truth in Dawn Woman's eyes. His heart flew, and he began playing his flute. This time the flute song was that a promise of hope and joy rising and falling, like the wind dancing on the prairies, a song of life. Once again, all the women were enthralled, drawn to the voice of the flute. The years went by. Into the union of Cloud and Dawn Woman were born two sons. As they grew, Cloud taught them to play the flute, and he became known far and wide as the flute maker. Young men and boys came to Cloud and asked to learn, and so he taught them all to make and play the flute. And he told them how the spirits had guided him to find the hokarapi, taking him from the despair of a broken heart to the joy of a dream fulfilled. That is why, he would tell them, there will always be a hollow tone of sadness in the voice of each flute, to remind everyone that while the flute is played to win love, winning love is also winning the chance of a broken heart. Such is love. Thereafter, on summer evenings, when the fireflies twinkled in the dusk, flutes could be heard singing sweetly, provocatively, up and down the river valleys, their voices touching the heart of any woman, young or old. Hokarapi, the flute, born of despair, became the voice of courtship, a promise of hope and of love. Man and Woman, Bow and Arrow. I was privileged to witness two eagles performing their courtship and mating ritual. They began their dance high above the earth, where they soared and came together in an embrace that locked one to the other. Holding fast to each other, they plummeted toward the land. When I thought they would surely crash into the ground, they let go of one another, gained flight and altitude, and did it all over again. In utter awe and fascination, I watched this breathtaking aerial display, realizing suddenly that I was watching life keeping itself in balance, while the eagles were fulfilling their purpose in honoring their destiny. The world works best in balance. To every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction, so the scientists say, a dry, unemotional premise that suggests a dynamic truth. Up and down, back and forth, night and day, cold and hot, male and female, man and woman. In balance and symmetry is beauty and strength. There are many ways to describe it, to give it an image. But I prefer most the story of the bow and arrow, which was often at the heart of marriage ceremonies in the old days. A very old man performed the ceremony in those days, and he talked to all the people who gathered. In his hands he would hold a bow and an arrow. He explained that a bow without the arrow is of no use, likewise for the arrow. If a bow is seen alone, one wonders where the arrow is. The same is true of the arrow, because one without the other is not balance. But the relationship of the bow and the arrow is more than togetherness. In order for them to be effective, the arrow must fly true. To do that, it must be perfectly straight. Yet no matter how straight the arrow can fly, It can't reach the target unless the bow is strong.